All right, we are back. We ended off with a cartoon. I think I'll insert a couple more here to start our second segment. This was I don't know where I came up with this. But it shows a distinguished-looking fellow on a glider out on the front porch and a rather attractive woman next to him. They're obviously a middle-aged couple. And she says, "I love you. I don't know what I would do without you." The guy is sort of squinting off in the distance and says, "Is that you talking or the wine?" To which she replies, "It's me talking to the wine." And the next one comes from the New Yorker. It shows a guy with a distinctive hairdo, and it looks like a Slovenian model next to him with what is apparently a Supreme Court judge holding his hand up. And the person being sworn in says, "And I will do the best of my ability," which is terrific ability, by the way. Everybody agrees I have fantastic ability. So there's no problem with my ability, believe me.
Doug, call on line one.
Really?
Yep.
Hello?
Yeah, this is Robert Kennedy. Now, some of your statements about me are not exactly going down well in the administration.
Well, which ones?
Well, saying I'm a medical quack, that's one. You know, pretty funny is I'm not a doctor. You act like you have some hoity-toity right to mock me.
Well, I am a physician, sir, and that is more than you can say.
Yeah, well, I'm about to head the Department of Health and Human Services. Little old me, boss of thousands of doctors. How do you like them apples?
Well, what are you saying?
I'm saying you might not want to bump bellies with a big Godzilla of a federal department, especially if I'm their head honcho.
Well, what can you do? Deny me an NIH grant to chainsaw dead whale?
Okay, I did the whale, true. I enjoyed dissecting. You know, I was named Ace Amateur Zoologist by the Cub Scouts of America back in 98.
Well, your animal gatherings have earned some headlines, I've noted.
Look, do I keep a freezer full of roadkill? Sure. The consumption of such fare is off the charts eco-friendly.
Well, my feeling is that your freezer's your business.
Waste not, want not. My Uncle Jack used to say that. He was president, you know?
We know.
Cheap, high-quality animal protein. As diet supplements go, it's top drawer. I'd say you might be questioned for negligent advice on free food.
Do you want me to advise folks to haul flattened badger home to barbecue?
You know, roadkill is a meaty bonanza, and in most states it's perfectly legal. You know, you just take up what you find lying beside a road, it's fine.
Well, it's hormone-free, one guesses.
Well, thank you for mentioning that. That is so true. Look, better to butcher a scrunched-up bear than carve up a feedlot steer injected with diethyl silbestrol. That's what I say.
You have a point there.
You know, my personal chef turns ground woodchuck into cheeseburgers that have pleased many congressional picnics for years. Marco Rubio, he wolfed them down last 4th of July.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And Chuck Grassley was so pleased, he told his aides, "Hey, just call me Woodchuck Chuck."
And do they?
By the way, woodchuck makes excellent jerky.
Well, I think I'm going to resist asking how much jerk could a woodchuck jerk.
And resist the temptation to parrot a corporate medical line that a paleo diet is lame. I've heard that before.
I don't think I ever said that.
I ask you, imagine a band of hungry Neanderthals huddled around the campfire.
Okay.
And they've just killed their mammoth, and now they're feasting.
Uh-huh.
Well, those hairy guys got nothing on me. Look, being carnivorous helps me stay buff. Fresh kill is a form of paleo, face it.
Fresh roadkill is paleo. That's what you're saying?
If you're talking hunter-gatherer, I'd say it's about as gatherer as it gets, wouldn't you?
Well, I can't advocate for what you're suggesting.
Well, it's your funeral. You know, if you ever smack into a moose on the highway, call up the local butcher. Get him involved.
Well, I think if I smack a moose, I'm calling a tow truck.
Grandma Rose used to serve all of us cousins moose kebabs after the boat parade every year. When Cousin Maria brought Schwarzenegger to the hiatus port, man, he went ape for moose. I think that's when the two of them actually hit it off.
Well, sir, our beef with you is bad science. You know, smallpox got eliminated through vaccines.
Has that ever been proven, really? Really? You know, then why is monkeypox still out there? It's a pox, right? Chicken pox still around? Another pox.
That's kind of nuts.
Well, what about those injured by vaccination? Autism, erectile dysfunction.
ED? That's a new one.
A cousin I used to do heroin with got a shot. Then for months, he couldn't get a chubby. We Kennedys can't go through life like that.
Maybe it was the heroin.
Oh, bosh. Heroin's not all that dangerous. Just make sure to score your 8-ball from a reputable dealer. Now, injecting a dead virus into people, that scares me. Okay, I shot Skag 14 years, but I'm in the pink. Have you ever seen me with my shirt off?
Well, sadly, yes, I have.
Old cousin Stud was a sexual berserker. Made me look like Mother Teresa. Uncle Teddy called him Tyrannosaurus Sex.
Stud.
Yeah. Listen and learn, bud. Stud got poked with a rusty nail while escaping out a dormitory window. After the tetanus shot, he said, and these are his words, doing the bone dance was like trying to shoot pool with a rope. Of course, Stud's failure to launch just left more gold diggers to divide among us horny Harvard boys.
That's such a lovely anecdote.
Stud's failure at the old bayonet drill is what first got me questioning vaccines.
Well, to move away from lunacy a bit, do you feel bad about the kids who died of measles after folks in Samoa took your vaccine advice?
Well, wait, you mean those swampy islands out in the Pacific? Look, kids die from snake bites, drowning, you name it. Maybe they got cold cocked by falling coconuts.
My. Are you still planning to limit NIH research on infectious disease?
Let's devote our resources to America's biggest source of illness.
And what do you think that is?
I got one word. Additives. That red dye in Fruit Loops, it gave rats cancer after they injected the equivalent of only 50 or 60 boxes of cereal in one study. And how about pasteurizing milk?
How about it?
Oh, it's overkill. Drink non-homogenized raw milk like I do, and maybe you can do one on push-ups like me. The dangers in processed foods gotta be reduced.
Well, perhaps, but you don't think a packet of Jell-O is as dangerous as COVID now, do you?
I'd have to think about that one.
Well, I would suggest the sooner the better.
I am unconvinced that COVID vaccines work. People staying home, requiring masks, what nonsense.
You think so?
Look, during COVID, President Trump stood up for Americans' rights to peacefully assemble, be it in tattoo parlors, nail salons, or the rifle range. Yet quarantine bus insisted that we isolate. It was terrible for the economy.
Well, maybe not as terrible as a million dead Americans from an infectious disease.
Oh, I see you're one of those quarantine buffs.
Well, sir, quarantine is a standard way to curb epidemics.
Look, if and when that H5N1 flu spreads in the U.S. this year, you can count on me to support the president's fighting masking and sheltering in place. Let's aim for good old herd immunity.
Well, except that didn't work too well with COVID.
Well, maybe we did bend the herd a little too hard, but hey, it's natural selection. Huddle in your house if you want. I got things to do, people to see.
Best hope they don't give you the flu.
I'm not worried.
Yeah, you supposedly once said that you were a bad student until you took up heroin. Do you reckon heroin guided your science studies?
Look, I know plenty of science-y things, my friend. I know the times tables up to 12 by 12.
Uh-huh.
I can name most countries in Europe. Okay, I mixed up Slovenia and Slovakia, but who the hell cares about them? The president doesn't, even though he snagged a wife from one, okay, but Look, I plan to take a cold, hard look at biochemicals in food. I'm going to muster my NIH doctors to get the biochemicals out of foods. We're good.
But you know that foods are biochemicals, right?
Oh, I see you're all Mr. Wizard all of a sudden. Hold on. My wife Cheryl's calling on the other line. Hold on. Look, I gotta go. Some joker just FedExed a package of barbecue dog to our house. She's kind of steamed.
Is there some story here?
No. I mean, look, the media published this old photo of me and some blonde pretending to gnaw on cooked ribs. I deny that they were dogs. Deny it. But some clown's trying to stir up Cheryl about the whole doggone thing.
Well, is she mad about the dog or the blonde?
Both. Anyway, do not slander me or the president, or heads are going to roll. If you want to keep yours, then chill out, capiche?
Truth is a legal defense in our minds, and you know, even we non-lawyers are aware of that.
Well, it depends how you define truth. You may find that subject changes soon. Look, before I go, can I ask you one favor?
And what's that?
I hear you travel quite a bit.
I do.
Well, if you ever chow down on dog in, say, China or the Philippines, can you please let me know how it is?
I can if I go down that road, but I'd say if you don't hear from me, you best assume the usual, you know, it probably just tastes like chicken.
Oh, that would be such a bore. Let's hope it tastes more like raccoon.
Well, if you say so.
All right, goodbye, Doug. Goodbye.
All right, well, that was Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and who knew he listened to the show? We at Radio Parallax have no way of confirming whether his father, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, is now spinning in his grave. But we assume so. Now, speaking of RFK and what he may want to do, ProPublica had an article last week on the subject of how a second Trump White House could drastically reshape infectious disease research. And to quote from the article by Anna Maria Barry Jester, life-saving HIV treatments, cures for hepatitis C, new tuberculosis regimens, and a vaccine for RSV. These and other major medical breakthroughs exist in large part thanks to a major division of the NIH, the largest funder of biomedical researchers on the planet. For decades, research with funding from the NIH's National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases have labored quietly in red and blue states across the country, conducting experiments, developing treatments, and running clinical trials. With a $6.5 billion budget, NIAID has played a vital role in discoveries that have kept the nation at the forefront of infectious disease research and saved millions of lives. Then came COVID-19. NIAID helped lead the federal response, and its director, Dr. Anthony Fauci, drew fire amid school closures nationwide and recommendations to wear face masks. Republicans in Congress have led numerous hearings and investigations into NIAID's work, flattened NIH's budget, and proposed a total overhaul of the agency. Recently, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Trump's nominee to run the Department of Health and Human Services, which oversees the NIH, has said he wants to fire and replace 600 of the agency's 20,000 employees and shift research away from infectious diseases and vaccines, which are the core of NIAID's mission to understand, treat, and prevent infectious immunologic and allergic diseases. He said that half of NIH's budget should focus on preventative, alternative, and holistic approaches to health. Notes the article, he has a particular interest in improving diets. And a little bit later in the piece, it notes that NIH directors typically span presidential administrations. But Donald Trump has nominated Dr. J. Bhattacharya to lead NIH, which caused the current director, Dr. Monica Bertagnoli, to tell staff last week she would resign January 17th. A Stanford professor, Bhattacharya has spent his career studying health policy issues like the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. Now, back in March 2020, Bhattacharya co-authored an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal arguing that the death toll from the pandemic would likely be far lower than predicted and called for lockdown policies to be reevaluated. Well, we don't know what number they were predicting at that particular moment in time, but it was considerably lower than the actual number of COVID patients and COVID deaths. That's pretty certain. Anyway, this does not inspire confidence in us that we're in good hands, because there is that H5N1 avian flu virus circulating, well, first in birds and now in other animals, including now humans. Evidently, a patient in Louisiana has become the first person in the U.S. to die of H5N1 avian flu. Scientists fear it could become a pandemic. The virus jumped from cows to humans last April when a dairy farm worker in Texas tested positive. By the end of the year, at least 65 Americans have tested positive, though the Louisiana patient, who's an elderly person with underlying health issues, felt ill after contact with birds, not cows. This outbreak began in 2022 and has already led to the death or culling of more than 125 million chickens, ducks, and geese in the U.S. And it's spreading rapidly, infecting dairy cow herds in 16 states. Anyway, you may want to keep some masks handy, and you may want to, you know, have lots of pasta and rice and beans available to you in case you find yourself hunkered down in 2025. Oh, and as to the controversy of whether masks work, the answer to that is yes! Yes, they do! Oh, and by the way, breaking news. On day one, Trump decided this would be an excellent time for the U.S. to withdraw from the World Health Organization. Now, in the Daily Beast, Jana Brancolini noted that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has said he won't take away anybody's vaccines if he's confirmed to head the Department of Health and Human Services. But what about his right-hand man? Lawyer Aaron Seary, who's been helping Kennedy vet candidates for key health positions in the incoming Trump administration, to which I say God help us, petitioned the FDA back in 2022 to revoke its approval of the polio vaccine. Scientific studies have repeatedly shown the shot is safe. Yet Seary wants it pulled until a lengthy new round of testing is completed, a process that would leave children vulnerable to a highly infectious disease that once killed or paralyzed 500,000 people worldwide each year. And Seary has more targets in sight, notes Bindu Bisanath in the New York Magazine. He's petitioned the FDA to pause distribution of 13 other shots, including those for tetanus, diphtheria, and whooping cough. And this is the man that RFK Jr., who last year falsely claimed that the polio shot, quote, killed many, many more people, unquote, than the disease itself, once as his general counsel. To which New York Magazine posed the question, what could possibly go wrong? Anyway, I wish I could bring my neighbor onto this program at this point. Unfortunately, he passed away many years ago. I know the story was that he was in Korea. He was a paratrooper. He was in excellent health, as you have to be a paratrooper. And apparently he and something like 17 of his fellow paratroopers found themselves, I don't know, in the backcountry of Korea and decided to take a dip in a local pond, after which all of them contracted polio. He survived the disease, but did have, you know, weakened lower extremities for the rest of his life. I wish I could somehow put him in front of a microphone and ask him what he thinks about the idea of pulling the polio vaccine based on the lawyering advice of Aaron Seary. All right, the time we have left, I think we're going to do something that we've always liked to do in this program, which is talk about some obituaries. We've always felt that people who made a difference in our lives should be cited for their lifetime of work. And so we start out with someone that, you know, I did have an outside shot at getting for this program many years back, but I never made an effort in that direction. But this would be the baseball great, Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker. And Bob Uecker was a baseball great, although not necessarily for his performance on the field as a player. My friend Denise Jacinto knew Bob Uecker, having, I believe, married a Milwaukee Brewer back in the day. I was hoping she could come on this program and talk a little bit about Mr. Uecker, but we haven't got that set up yet. I hope it happens. To those who knew him, Bob Uecker was considered just about the funniest guy in the world. His stats as a player were, I guess you'd say, a little undistinguished. He had a lifetime batting average of 200. And if you're not a fan of baseball, I would point out that anything below 240 or 250 is low. If you can consistently hit above 300, meaning 3 times out of 10, well, that'll pretty much make you a Hall of Famer, which shows you how weird baseball is. The difference between being a 300 hitter and a 250 hitter is a difference of one hit in 20 at-bats. Anyway, when he was a player, Euchre got himself in trouble on many occasions. During the team photo, at one point, he and Bob Gibson evidently held hands and put goofy smiles on their face, which caused the team to fine the both of them and have to do the picture over again. His baseball card in something like 1965 showed him with a bat in his hand batting left. He was actually a right-handed batter. And after doing baseball, I think he tried his hand at doing some stand-up comedy and was liked so much by someone that saw him that he found himself on The Tonight Show, where he wowed Johnny Carson, who gave him the label Mr. Baseball. If you're of a certain age, you may remember some of the Miller Lite commercials that featured Bob Euchre back in the day. And probably the most famous of them, he comes out and starts talking about how great it is to be an ex-player and be recognized by people, you know, all the adulation that you receive. And he sits down in some VIP section, and an usher comes along and says, no, this is not where you're supposed to sit. He then eyes the camera and says, oh, must be in the front row. And the next shot, he's up in one of these incredible nosebleed seats up in the third tier, which doesn't stop him from shouting at the camera, hey, he missed the tag! He missed the tag! Another one, he comes into a bar and talks about how great it is to have, you know, people recognize him and want to buy him a beer. As he holds up the beer, one of the patrons said, you know, it's just a real honor to be able to buy a beer for a great player like Whitey Ford. At which point, Euchre kind of leans in the camera and says, okay, I lied. Anyway, he left us with many, many funny lines, which I think I will delve into. Bob Euchre. In 1962, I was named Minor League Player of the Year. It was my second season in the bigs. I signed a very modest $3,000 bonus with the Braves in Milwaukee. And, you know, my old man didn't have that kind of money to put out. I had a great shoe contract and glove contract with a company who paid me a lot of money, never to be seen using their stuff. Said Euchre. I think my top salary was maybe in 1966. I made $17,000. And 11 of that came from selling other players' equipment. Now, in his career, Euchre was a catcher. And apparently he was brought back to the Milwaukee Braves to catch the knuckleballer Phil Niekro. If you know anything about baseball, you know that knuckleballs are notorious for being hard to hit and catch. To the question of how do you catch a knuckleball, Euchre said, well, I just wait until it stops rolling and go pick it up. And finally, I have a couple of two quickies from the musical world. Yeah, the past week saw the passing of Peter Iero, who lent Peter, Paul, and Mary his biblical name and a soulful tenor. He helped the group become one of the most successful folk acts of the 1960s. They placed 5 albums on the Billboard Top 10. If you were around back then, you know that they were everywhere in the 60s, even performing at the 1963 March on Washington. Iero personally helped organize the 1969 national mobilization to end the war in Vietnam. Unfortunately, in 1970, and I had no idea that this happened, Iero, age 32 at the time, had to plead guilty to molesting a 14-year-old girl backstage. He pled guilty and served 3 months in prison. Iero was contrite later, saying, I walk the walk, didn't do all I can to make amends. If you never heard Peter, Paul, and Mary, dear listener, do yourself a favor and pull some of their stuff up. It was pretty good. And lastly, we also lost Sam Moore, he of Sam and Dave. The remarkable story to Sam Moore is that he was emceeing a Miami nightclub in 1961. He was an MC. He was there on amateur night. Another young vocalist, Dave Prater, got up to do a Jackie Wilson song. And when the nervous Prater struggled with the lyrics, Moore jumped in with an assist, and their tag team effort delighted the audience. A legendary pairing was born. From 1965 to 1968, Sam and Dave issued a run of electrifying muscular soul hits recorded in Memphis, including Hold On, I'm Coming, I Thank You, and Soul Man. The duo would land 10 songs on Billboard's R&B Top 20 and become the country's most powerful R&B concert attraction. And although we're out of time, Mr. Millen, I think we can use Hold On, I'm Coming as our outro music. What do you say?
I say yes.
You've been listening to Radio Parallax. I'm Douglas Everett. This program was produced by Edward McMillan. We'll see you soon.